It's Jeannie, the pistol-packing mountain mama health nut. Welcome back to Throw Out the Trash. I'm so glad you're here. Azo dicarbonamide. It's a chemical sometimes called yoga mat, and that's because of its widespread use in foam plastics. And yes, it's in our food. Almost 500 different foods, actually. Mainly used to make white flour and then also as a dough strengthener. So I want to talk about that today. What it is exactly, where you find it, and then the health issues it can cause. And then keep listening to my second segment, which has absolutely nothing to do with health. And I call that Mountain Adventures. And I share a true story about helping a mama cow have her calf in the middle of a snowstorm in the middle of the night. The question is, does the calf make it? But before I begin, I want to share with you phenomenal proactive wellness products that were created with you in mind. It's a known fact that we don't have a health crisis. We have a nutritional deficiency crisis. And too many products are available on the market that are just not high quality. That's why three international products do not contain GMOs, artificial flavors, fillers, or additives, and no heavy metals or pesticides. The main product is called Vitality. And if you struggle with low energy, brain fog, or weight gain, this product can really help. Just go to my website, jeannieolson.iii.earth, to learn more about these amazing products. And all of the three products are listed in the physician's desk reference. And not all products on the market qualify for that. And you can check that out at www.pdr.net. Now about azodicarbonamide, also called ADA. It doesn't even sound natural, does it? It's actually a chemical, and like I mentioned, it's sometimes called yoga mat. And that's because this chemical is used in yoga mats, rubber soles, artificial leather, and all of those things are highly flammable. So let's just put that in our body. Okay, and it's actually a yellow, orange, and red odorless crystalline powder. Okay, and how's it made? Well, they mix urea with hydrazine, and then this synthesizes to biurea, and then is oxidized with hydrogen peroxide or chlorine. Okay, hydrogen peroxide or chlorine, both are bleaching agents. Okay, and that's why it's used to whiten flour. Okay, also, it's a fast-acting gluten enhancer, and what this does, it strengthens the elasticity and toughness of gluten in the dough, and then this makes a high-strength dough. Okay, so now I want to list some of the food products that you can find ADA in, and some of these that I'm going to list I found in an article by Cell Health News, and this was in the year 2023, so it's still very relevant today. And most of these are something that you're going to buy in the store or you're going to go to a fast food restaurant. Okay, so you can find it in English muffins at McDonald's, Subway breads. Also, you can find it in Wendy's Morning Melt Panini Bread, Arby's and all of their breads, Starbucks croissants, Kohl's cheese sticks, Country Hearth bread, Earth Grains bread, Fiber One hot dog and hamburger buns. No, I thought Fiber One was a cereal. Harvest Pride bread, Health Life bread, Hearth of Texas bread company, Little Debbie products, Mariano's products, Pillsbury products, and Sara Lee products. Now, who of us has not eaten one of those at some time in our life, and sometimes biweekly or once a day? So that's super sad. But the question is it safe? So the FDA says yes, of course they do. The World Health Organization says it's safe. But European countries and Australia, they've banned it in food and plastics that come in contact with food. And this all started around 2014 when it became a big issue. And so 10 years later, here we are, it's still in our food. Okay, and that's the question I have. Why is it banned in other countries, but the U.S. is still using it? That's what bothers me. Part of it is because we're so behind. But here are some of the health issues that you can get from consuming it. Most of the problems can arise just by breathing it in, especially if you're working in an environment that has this type of flour or product. And you can get respiratory problems, allergies over time, and asthma, and it's also been linked to cancer in lab animals. So if it's linked to cancer in lab animals, it's going to be linked to cancer in humans as well. And then in the long run, it can lead to tumors. So here's my take. Is the improved bread texture and prolonged shelf life worth the health risks? Now, of course, manufacturers do it for economic incentives, which means money. But the fact that it's banned in other countries, like I mentioned, just sends up a red flag for me. There are healthier alternatives that some companies are using now, so that's good. And one product they're using is ascorbic acid, which is a form of vitamin C. And then they're using sourdough fermentation, which this actually increases the nutritional profile as well. Now, what can we do as consumers to find better alternatives to eat? Well, of course, read the labels, but unfortunately, it's not always listed on the label. And then you can purchase organic. Make sure you look for certified organic. And then here's a big one, support your local bakery, because most of the time they're going to use natural products. They're not going to use something that's going to speed up production or prolong shelf life. So that's my take, is to throw ADA out of your diet. Okay, I hope you found this short segment helpful. Please share it with one person who you think would benefit from it. And now I want to go on to my second segment, and I call that Mountain Adventures. Dark green pine trees that shadow over the clear green water as it runs gently through the canyon. The only thing you hear, besides a ripple, is a meadowlark or a lone hoot owl perched in the trees. You sit quietly, soaking your feet in the cool water, not a single soul around, just letting the stresses of life wash away. Wouldn't you just love to be there right now? Well, you can. You've heard the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. I captured the photo I just described in the beautiful Rocky Mountains of East Idaho. You can view and purchase this photo, along with many more, on my website, mountainadventures.smugmug.com, and then look in the gallery titled Displays of Nature to find it. Bring nature into your home or office and let stress melt away. Now, on to my story. Nick was pulling so hard on the calf with every ounce of strength he had, and the mama cow was helping, but still, that little calf wouldn't come out. Was it even alive? It had been a long night. My husband, Nick, finally made it back to the house well after dark and long after dinner. Calving season here on the ranch is a busy time. Most of our mama cows do just fine giving birth, but once in a while, one will struggle, so they have to be checked on often. One of the most precious things to see in life is the birth of a newborn baby calf. This means an extra addition to the family, and we never get tired of seeing it. Usually Nick will start to take his coat and boots off the minute he steps through the door, but this time he didn't. That's when I knew something was wrong. As he dusted the snow from his coat, he told me that he needed to pull a calf. The mama cow was really struggling to give birth. And then he added, "And I'll need your help, and then dress warm because it's snowing hard." Although springtime was near, we still get a few snowstorms that roll in. So I pulled on my coveralls, boots, coat, and hat, grabbed my gloves and the flashlights, and headed out the door behind him. We made our way up the ice road on the four-wheeler. The snowflakes were so huge that I was immediately covered with about an inch of new white snow. Once we arrived at the feed yard, it took a few minutes, but we finally found the mama cow that needed help. Secretly, we were hoping that she'd already had the calf, but she hadn't. We didn't have a shed of any kind to put her in or corrals. All that was in the feed yard was stacks of hay and straw. So this mama cow was just walking around with the rest of the cows, with a pair of tiny black hooves sticking out of her backside. Most of the time, the cow will give birth standing up. Here on the ranch, it's called dropping the calf. Quite literally, the calf just drops out onto the hard, cold ground on its head. So a plan was made. We would build a makeshift corral with straw bales. The bales were 4 feet wide and 8 feet in length. Nick grabbed the loading tractor and carefully stacked the bales, 2 bales high in a small circle, leaving an opening just wide enough so we could get the cow inside. Once the corral was finished, we set out on foot to get the cow. Flashlights were our only source of light. After 20 minutes or so of looking, we finally found her again, and gently and quietly we coaxed her over to the corral, and once inside, I stood in the opening so she wouldn't try and leave, and Nick placed the final straw bales in front of the entrance. It was near 1 o'clock in the morning when we finally started to pull the calf. Nick placed a strap just above the little feet above the ankles that were sticking out of the mama. This strap is about 2 feet long and 1 inch wide. On each end is a triangle made of heavy metal, and it's just perfect to hold on to. After he positioned the strap, he felt inside of the mama to make sure that the calf was in the right position to be born. If the calf is coming out backwards, we use a different kind of puller. That's basically a long bar with a U-shape on one end and a ratchet system. But this time, it was just the strap that we used. And you have to be careful because if you start pulling too hard, too soon, or if the calf is in the wrong position, you can cause a lot of damage to both the mom and calf. My job was to hold the flashlight as Nick gently but forcefully started to pull. The cow and us were completely covered with snow, but that didn't matter. We needed to save this cow and calf. Nick would pull on the strap for a few minutes and then rest. Well, eventually the cow laid down. She was exhausted. Little by little, more of the calf's legs were showing, but nothing else. If Nick could just get the head and then the shoulders to emerge, the rest of the calf would come out easily. It was like that little bugger had his back feet firmly planted, and it was saying, "I'm not coming out. I don't care what you do." Well, Nick was pulling with all of his strength, and the mama was hurting. She was moaning from the pain. Every once in a while, she would lay her head down and let out a soft, low sigh. And then she would start to breathe heavy again as she pushed with all of her strength. Was the calf even alive? How disheartening it can be to see a baby calf dead when it's born. Well, it was near 2 o'clock that dark, snowy night, and nothing more from that little baby calf. But Nick decided he would just pull once more, and then we would just have to wait for daylight and call the vet for help, and then hope that the calf and cow would make it through the night. So Nick positioned himself and gave one last hard pull, and the head emerged. It was coming out. Finally. And with one last push by the mama, the calf slipped out onto the cold, snowy ground. Nick quickly swiped the mucus off of the calf's head, and then he cleaned out the nostrils, hoping it would start to breathe right away. But it didn't. "Oh, no, please, Lord," I prayed. "Let this little calf live." Nick picked up the calf by the back feet and let it hang in the air for a few minutes, hoping that any fluid that may have gotten into the calf's throat or lungs would come out. After what seemed like forever, fluid started to drain, and within seconds, the baby calf gasped, filled its lung with air, and started to breathe. Oh, thank goodness! Well, we all sat back exhausted, including the mama cow, and we just sat there and rested a few minutes and just admired God's creation and gift to us. Yes, we were all exhausted, and we were cold and snow-covered. We marveled as the mama cow stood up and immediately started to lick her brand new, very wet baby off. It's instinct, you know. Oh, and by the way, it was a boy, black all over with a white face, with the biggest eyes you've ever seen. Nick and I quietly slipped out of the corral and headed for home. We left them alone for the rest of the night. The next morning, when we went back to the feed yard to check on them, the calf, although a little wobbly, was jumping around playing. He was dry and clean. Both were happy, and so were we. The long, cold, snowy night was absolutely worth it. The birth of a baby animal is one of the most gratifying things about being cattle ranchers. And when you get to help, it's even better. There really is never a dull moment at the NBRO Ranch. Well, remember this. When you've done everything you can do, that's when God will step in and do what you can't. He loves you. Trust God. He will help you love others, even when you feel they don't love you back. See you next time.